Am I doing this right? There you are.
Am I a giant face? Just tell me now.
You're not a giant face.
Thank you.
It is kind of echoey, though.
Shit.
And now it's an explicit podcast.
Okay. Let me get my headphones. I joined like not as a co-host. I just joined the chat and I was like, "Hey, it's me." And I'm like, "Oh, no one."
I know. I was like, I forgot how this works.
Okay, let me get my headphones. Maybe? Do
Okay.
you think?
Try it. In the meantime, I'm going to say hello, women's. Happy Women's History Month for those of us in the United States, UK, and Australia. I found out while looking up Women's History Month that it is celebrated in October in Canada because of Persons Day, which is when women were legally found to be also included in the word person.
Wait, what does that
Because
mean?
up until then, constitutionally, if there was a law written and it said, you know, a person can do this, it was understood to only mean men. And so they had to
Oh
legislate to
shit.
get women included in the word person.
Wait, what
And
year
that
was this?
happened October 18th, 1929.
So when women's were not persons until
Yeah.
1929 in Canada.
Yeah, yeah,
Just
yeah.
Canada. Okay. No,
Well, I
we're
mean, we
still
were
not
still
recognized as
not persons,
persons
yeah. But in
anywhere
Canada,
else.
they were finally, yeah.
Someday I will be a person in the US.
Until then, you are a woman's, so maybe that's better
I'm okay with that.
anyways.
I'm also in
Yes.
bathtubs. Is this better audio-wise?
Think so, yeah.
Okay. All
Yeah.
right. That's fine.
You look like you're in a bar. It's great.
I am in
You're in
a
a day
I'm in
bar.
a post-COVID bar. I traveled back in time and I am at a real bar. Wait, do you see my parrot?
Whoa. Oh, it's like a cockat. Wow.
Oh, sorry,
Yeah,
cockatoo, yeah. And then wait, maybe I can show you my porg. Nope, that's marzipan. Oh,
Oh.
where's my porg? Sorry, I'm looking for
There it is. Hey. Nice. Well done.
okay, for the recording, this is gonna not make any sense. I'm just kind of anyway.
Thank you everybody for
Just
joining.
thanks
I
for
will,
joining our show and tell.
yeah. If you don't know who we are, I'm Laurel Hachinova. It's in the script, I have to say
And I am Audrey Vandernee. And yeah, thank you for joining us. I think you probably know who we are since you're probably, I'm guessing. But this is actually our second to last episode of the season. It's our last live stream, and it is a season of just a few episodes. 50.
We
Well,
did,
actually,
yeah, it's a 50
this is.
episode season.
We're at episode 49 right now, but our next one's going to be 50. I don't know if that's a normal season for people. It feels like a record. Can we enter into like the Guinness Book of Podcast Records? But yeah, we're going to be taking a short break after episode 50 and should be back in about maybe a month or so, maybe less, maybe a little bit more, but yeah, I would say a month. But in the meantime, today we are going to be responding to some more listener questions from a few years ago.
No.
In COVID time, it
We've
was
only been
amazing
doing the
time.
podcast for a year, but the questions are from several years ago.
It was amazing
I'm
how
just
you
kidding. Yeah.
submitted questions to us before we started
Okay, well, we are going to start with Jessica Mishlove's question. What is your favorite ice cream flavor?
podcast. Is that my cue? Wait, people who are in the chat, you should also answer these questions too, so it's not just us because we're shy. So the question, in case you just joined, is what is your favorite ice cream flavor? Okay, so I have a list. I take ice cream very seriously. I would say it's one of my favorite foods. So starting with like a trashy flavor that I really like, a favorite childhood flavor is Thrifty's, or I guess Rite Aid, their chocolate malted crunch. I don't know if you've had it before. And then one that no longer exists is Three Twins' mint confetti. This is all very,
Three
very
Twins. I was
Bay
gonna
Area,
list
yeah.
a Three Twins one. Yeah.
But they're gone. R.I.P. Three
R.I.P.
Twins. And then like one that still exists is Bai-Rite's balsamic strawberry. That's one of my top. And then another one that I don't think exists anymore. The ice cream flavor, but the wow, I'm really like going off on this. Humphrey Slocum's after school special, which is like chocolate covered Ruffle potato chips with like vanilla. And I feel like Ben and Jerry's stole their idea, but whatever. It's another topic. And then, okay, just a few more.
Wait. I'm going to interrupt yours with Native Mohican says black cherry with chocolate chunks. That is a very good, choice. I also like cakes with that combination, but all right, go ahead.
Cakes?
Yeah. Cherry and chocolate cakes.
Yeah. That's a good combo. I like the sour and sweet. Mitchell's, which is also another Bay Area institution. They have like a lot of good sort of Filipino-y flavors.
Yeah.
Like Buko is a good one. And they have a really great pumpkin in the fall. It's like a seasonal flavor. This is just the ice cream episode. And then there's this amazing roasted matcha ice cream that I had in Kyoto that I'll throw in there. Definitely my top five. And then finally, my last response to this is I just love red bean ice cream.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that might be one of my favorite flavors ever.
If you could only have one for the rest of your life, what would what would you pick?
Oh my God, Laurel, that's really messed up.
No one said life was fair.
I'm going to go with either the balsamic or this red bean. Probably red bean.
Okay. Yeah.
Ice cream. Yeah.
What about you? My favorite ice cream flavor just generally is vanilla. Because it's so flexible. You can kind of turn it into anything, you know? Yeah. Like, as a kid, I used to mix it with peanut butter and jelly and just swirl it.
Ice cream is a good answer. Mala Reese, I just said.
Oh, nice. Yeah, totally. My favorite vanilla flavor is actually Three Twins Madagascar vanilla.
Oh, that is a really,
it's so good. I don't know how they did it. And
it's very complex.
I also love Salt and Straws salted caramel. I kind of get that all the time with sprinkles. I also love Uji Time's green tea soft serve.
Yes.
Yeah.
With a little like fish cone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So those would be my favorites.
Okay. Yep. Erin just asked, did she say red beet ice cream? Red bean ice cream is what I said. Bean, like azuki, right? Azuki bean ice cream.
Yep.
It's like a very Asian-y flavor.
Okay.
Those are solid answers. I approve. Okay, so millennial actress asked, first queer media that resonated with each of you.
This one was interesting because I think the first queer ping I got from media was actually not ever explicitly queer media. You know,
did you say ping or ping?
Ping. You know, it's like you get sort of a signal. Like
a ping, like a heart, like a emotional ping. That's same difference. Yeah.
It's like if there were ever girls in a TV show or movie playing a sport, I was like, oh, what's that? What's happening here?
Oh my God. Wow. Let's see. Do you have a specific example of that?
No, I can't think of anything. Yeah. I have this sort of image in my head of like girls on a baseball or softball or little league team, and they're wearing like ball caps and they've got jerseys
but
on, and they're just like,
not like women's.
Yeah, because like the first one. So like anyone like my age doing something sporty is like, something's happening. Or like a tomboy on screen, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But then the first, like I was trying to rack my brain for the first queer media, like explicitly queer thing that I could think of. And it was like Jill Sobule's I Kissed a Girl. Yeah. Oh, I can't think of anything before it, but I remember like when that song came out, I was just like, oh, that's interesting, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. And I was like, really? Is that the one? And I got like, I can't come up with anything earlier. So that has to be the first explicitly queer thing that I remember. I'm going to remember something after we jump off the live stream, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a hard time with this too. I was kind of racking my brain, but I like how you go from extremes of kind of like very subliminal.
Yeah.
Like I literally kissed a girl.
Right. Or it could be like the Delia's catalogs in the 90s, you know. It's like, oh, something's happening here. I can't put my finger on it, but
there's
something about this catalog that I like better than like JCPenney's for some reason.
I mean, if you look back at those, I'm sorry, but they are so dykey. Like,
yeah.
Was that just the aesthetic of the 90s? Like everyone just looked like a big lesbian? Because that's, according to Delia's,
you know,
with like kind of sort of a
you could get
shirt,
a chain
like a
wallet
choker.
There. Totally.
Big raver pants.
Yep.
Rainbow belt.
Yeah. Okay.
You should ask this question in the chat.
Okay. Yeah. I got it.
Thank you.
What about you?
Okay. So I was having trouble too, but I think I came up with a few things for like categories. So definitely not explicit, I guess, but definitely seeing like Angelina Jolie in like anything.
Yeah, totally.
Especially in Hackers, I think I saw like a trailer for it. And I was like, gosh, what is this game? Like, what are these feelings that I have? This pang. But also, I think like The Labyrinth when I was pretty young, that's like pretty queer, right? It's, like, David Bowie's very queer.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
The story's a little weird and borderline creepy, right? Like, this much older dude is pining after this literal child. But I think it has like a sort of feminist ending. But Jennifer Connelly, definitely. I think I had a crush on her when I was younger.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So one movie I saw when I was pretty young that was, I don't know if I call it a queer film, but it had like queer characters in it. This sticks out to me is Higher Learning, John Singleton's film, Higher Learning. R.I.P. John Singleton. But Jennifer Connelly and Christy Swanson are.
Christy Swanson. Oh my God.
I'm not going to like spoil it if you haven't seen it. But Marcel 17 said, do you remember that movie with Natalie Portman where her mom was Susan Sarandon and she had a very special friend in that? Yeah, what was it called? Like,
I don't remember that.
I can picture like the cover of the movie, something like about home or like away. I don't know.
I'm sure. Is it called Home and Away?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Also, Native Mohican says, when I saw Mary Stuart Masterson in anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
fair.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wonderful. Yeah, I thought about that too. Like, I'm sorry, but that character should have been gay. Like Watts. She's like this cute little drummer with this like tiny pixie haircut with these like punk, you know, aesthetic like gloves.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That was definitely queer light bulb for me. Okay. And then I have a couple more answers, which is when I was really young, I was really into Tori Amos. And I don't think at the time I realized, I mean, she's not queer, but she has this like the community around her and her music, I would say, is pretty queer. There's a lot of queer themes in her songs, but like I met most of my, what ended up being like my queer family through her music. So that definitely sticks out. And then I remembered late last night that like, I think in my early teens, I read Francesca Lea Block's young adult series called like Dangerous Angels. So the books are like Weetzy Bat, Witch Baby, and those, although the main character is not queer, it's like very, there's like a lot of queer themes throughout. And I think her best friend is queer in it. I don't remember a lot about it, but it was like,
Weetzy Bat is queer?
It's very queer, yeah.
Wow. Okay, and yeah.
I think it was ahead of its time. It came out like in the 80s, I believe, like maybe late 80s. I don't know if it holds up. So like, if you go back and read it now and it's terrible, like, please don't blame me. But I remember the time being like, whoa, this is so bizarre. And like, what am I reading? It's not like any other book I've ever read before. But yeah, definitely deals with a lot of queer themes. So.
That reminds me that I also had a, I don't know why this reminds me of that. That reminds me that I had a crush on whoever the girl was who assisted Encyclopedia Brown.
Oh my God.
Cause she was smart books. And competent. I don't know.
Right,
anyway.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I loved Encyclopedia Brown. Those were great books. I learned a lot.
I learned how to be suspicious of all my friends.
I learned if I'm going to do, what is it? If I'm going to like, enter a contest to eat like a lot of chicken, like what the trick was. There was anyway.
Yeah, remember. Or that if you're gonna pretend to be crying, don't have your tears come down this way.
Right.
They have to come out like that way.
I learned that from Encyclopedia Brown too. Wow, the same person.
M. Debord Valmore says Veruca Salt video of Seether was queer to me when I was a teen. I had a crush on Louise Post. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Totally. Yeah. 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 Good call. Okay. Oh, we also had a question. Ooh, this one might be a long one, so we might save it for another one. But Aaron A.O. River asked, what are your favorite movies besides Portrait? Do you have a fast answer to that? Oh, we did kind of cover it, actually. Yeah, at the moment, mine is like Kajillionaire, and I'm just going to leave it for there. I'm going to leave it at that for now.
I mean, I still stand by like my favorite movie of all time is Heathers. So that's
nice. Yeah.
Makes it simple, especially since I'm dating a Heathers.
A Heathers.
Yeah.
Kate Kane 86 also says Jordana Brewster Lucy Diamond in Debs is responsible for my current high level of gayness. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. When I skimmed this question or this answer, I read it as Punky Brewster, who I think
I saw that too.
Might be. Yeah.
I was like, that's also kind of gay.
I love my dead gay son.
Thank you. Yeah.
That is a Heather's reference.
For anyone who's just joining, the question that we were responding to is queer media that resonated with each of you. This came from Millennial Actress, so feel free to dump that in the chat if you have an answer yourself.
Okay, I'm gonna, should I do the next one?
Yeah.
Okay, so from Cora Leading, oh man, it's this one.
It's this one.
In real life, who has more BDE in your romantic relationships? This it's this one.
Yeah. Oh, I get to answer first.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
So I asked my partner this question. And
oh, dang it. I should have asked Allie.
You did ask that. Allie.
I did?
Remember we had this conversation when we first saw this question?
Oh, great.
I'll tell you what Allie said.
Okay.
Oh, wait. No,
what Heather said first.
Okay. So anyway, I think Heather left and was like, oh, definitely you. So there was like no doubt. And then she said, I have more CDE, chaotic dyke energy.
Oh.
Which I would agree with. I don't know if it's like so much that I have a ton of BDE, but I do think I have more BDE than my partner. I think I've just been like, I've been more, you know, comfortable in my gayness for a lot longer than her. So that helps. It's just like this buildup of gayness, you know, like you get, like you rack up, if you're like a gamer, you rack up like XP, right? Like,
uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So you have like gay XP.
Yeah. Thousands and thousands of hours, billions of hours of gay XP at this point. I also have, you know, the multiple tool boxes of the family.
Okay, sure. Yeah,
like when you merge households?
Yeah.
I think I came with like four different sets of tools. So I feel like that helps me with the XP.
So that's something I was going to ask is like, what's the criteria? Like, it feels like just a gut judgment, right? It's like, whoa, BDE, or like not as much BDE or something, but there's gotta be, is there a rubric? Can we like make a quiz?
Ooh,
maybe this indicates that I have very low BDE.
Yeah, I mean, everything you've said every time has been like, I think this indicates I have low BDE.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, I don't think you have low BDE. Okay. I think it's like a vibe. I think it's like a gut thing, like an aura, you know, I don't know if you can measure aura, although there are like instruments to measure aura to like take, oh my God,
is there a filter?
Need
what?
To okay. come up with like a machine that measures your BDE and like you can photograph
like a Geiger counter for BDE?
Well, I was thinking like one of those aura things. What, I don't know what they're called.
Oh,
you know,
sure,
like you put your hand on it and then it like, it shows you your aura and then you can like kind of read it. But there needs to be one for BDE. I don't know what that looks like, but yeah, I guess a Geiger counter would work.
We need to find people with like low BDE. I can step into that. That's fine. No. And like very, very high BDE so we can calibrate the machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. What did Allie say about my BDE?
Well, now that I'm re-remembering it, because this is a while ago. Again, this was 3 years ago. And I think you said, like, I asked Allie, and you were like, because I asked her, that's an indication that I have low BDE, but I don't think that's true. But, like, what do you think? Like, what's your gut response to that?
I think...
Like, thermometers, yeah. Maybe
to answer this question specifically, I think Allie definitely has more BDE than I do. She's just so much, like... She used to build parade floats. Like, she's very, very handy. And she,
handy.
Like, she does... Yeah. Like, she's the one who installs all the shelves in her apartment. Mm, she's the one
too.
Who, she, like, cooks everything. And
I don't know if that's a measure of BDE. I feel like that's not. I think
the way she does it, it feels very confident. I don't know. Like, yeah. Like if I cooked
like,
anything.
Machete cutting, like, use the hammers
well,
and
just,
cook.
She's more, like, she's more experimental with what she cooks, and she tries a lot of different things, and she'll adjust recipes and stuff, whereas, like, if I cook, I would be like, this says a fourth teaspoon of sugar, and that sounds like too little, but I'm going to go with it. I'm not going to, you know, just, like, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. And it's interesting, the thing that you said about the life experience points, because I've been out longer than she has.
Oh, really? Okay.
She's still more, like, she still has more BDE than I do, so.
Shoot, yeah, then I guess it's multiple things. This is
so cool.
I like this. I think we could dedicate an entire episode to, like, measuring BDE.
Yeah, a BDE study. The first of its kind.
Maybe.
maybe. Excellent. Yeah, okay. All right, you want to do the next one?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, wait. We've got another one.
Check the check the comments if there's
so any. From Adriana, we have, did you guys watch My First Summer? I have not seen that.
I haven't seen it. Sorry.
So, no.
BD points removed. Deducted.
All right. You want to do the next one?
Yeah. Okay. So from Carm Hollis, if you could change or had one thing to portrait, what would it be? Wow. Hmm. Oh.
How would you answer this?
I think I asked the question, Laurel.
I was typing. Mm. Fine. I'm not typing anymore. If I could change or add one thing to portrait, it would be, I wish we could have gotten a little bit more diversity in there somehow. Mm. And I wish that Celine hadn't decided to remove the lines where Eloise asked permission to paint Sophie.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Claire Fofo said, nice hat, Audrey. And I want to say thank you. I'm wearing a P28 hat. So that is my answer too. I thought the script did a better job explicitly conveying the like consent on Sophie's part, or maybe more of like the permission, asking permission from Eloise for the abortion, you know, painting scene. Mm-hmm. So I wish that was in there. And my other answer to that is I wish that the film had been 4 hours long. That counts, right?
Nice. That's great. Yeah.
Marsul 17's response is, that's easy. Celine Sciamma working atmosphere McDonald's.
Did it autocorrect at to atmosphere?
Oh wow, that's a bonkers autocorrect, but
I don't know.
Because she's working at like the mall.
Right, yeah. In Waterloo's, right? Okay. Yeah. That was pretty great.
That would be great if Eloise and Marianne, like, there's like a little hidden McDonald's in the cave scene or something. And after they, right before they kiss, they go order a bucket of fries and like a big soda. And Celine is the one there. Okay, perfect.
I think we had one more. Oh, okay. Another one from Aaron. Do you think you'll ever get Celine on this podcast? Smiley face.
I'll let you answer that one.
No, I don't know. I mean, we would love to have her, of course.
You don't want
to
answer.
Yeah, my answer is no. I mean, it'd be cool. It would be amazing, but I'm not gonna hold my breath.
That's so pessimistic.
Maybe. Okay, my answer is maybe. I'll never say never, but yeah.
Maybe Celine's in this chat right now. Again, I feel like I make this.
Aaron, are you Celine? She's so busy right now, says Native Mohegan. And yes, that is true.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. Like, I don't want to say yes, but, you know, I think it's possible. Yeah, maybe in season two.
Ooh, okay. This one from Undazed in response to the change or add one thing to portrait. Undazed says, or I'd add a cameo of Celine selling them the armpit drug at the bonfire party. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And Aaron says that they are not Celine, but isn't that what Celine would say?
That's exactly what Celine would say.
Trying to pretend to be someone else.
I think like maybe also to add to that response, maybe like Celine making a cameo on the boat ride over.
Ooh.
Like if she was the boatman.
Yeah. Have we checked every face in this movie, like in the gallery scene?
Have we checked every face? I think at this point, someone has checked every face to make sure Celine is in hiding somewhere, but it's possible. Maybe her, wait, the little girl, isn't there like a rumor that the little girl is Celine? Does that count? Has anyone compared like a child photo of Celine to the painting of Celine in the P28?
The painting that might be Celine.
Yeah.
In the gallery. Yeah.
Sorry. That might. Has anyone done that? I don't know. I think like that's a total possibility.
Claire Frofro also says Celine should be the dude that shows up to take Eloise away.
Oh, yeah, that would be much better.
Do you want to do the last one?
No, I think it's your turn.
Didn't you ask that one? Yeah.
I asked the one previous.
Oh, no. Okay. That's my turn. Okay. No. Okay.
Yeah. No. Okay. Fine.
Okay. Sometimes not always asks, how long do you think you'll keep doing this podcast? Because don't stop. Funny you should ask, because we're stopping the season in another episode, in our next episode. But we don't, the podcast as a whole, you know, we're planning on coming back for season two. So who's to say how long this will go? I guess we'll just keep going until it's not in fun anymore, or, you know, we run out of things to talk about.
Yeah, I don't know if we're ever going to run out of things to talk about, because I feel like we've definitely expanded, right? Not,
that's fair.
Just talk about portrait topics. You know, I mean, the fact that we're contemplating having an episode just dedicated to BDE and not even like portrait BDE. y'all keep giving us ideas. So I guess when you stop giving us ideas, we'll stop. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's my response to anyone who's just joining us now, who wasn't here earlier. This is our second to last episode of the season, of our 50 episode season. But yeah, we'll be back in just like probably a few weeks. So don't miss us too much.
Native Mohican says that maybe Celine is the one that walks up to Marianne in the gallery. I mean, like, if you, the makeup job for Tilda Swinton in Suspiria makes me feel like she could be kind of anyone.
She could have done that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe she was secretly the mom.
Oh my gosh. do we want to talk about our season finale episode?
Let's see. I'm reading some of these responses. Native Mohican said, forever or 10 months. It's like so specific. Keep recording for another 10 months. I'm dazed. At the very least, keep going until Celine and or Adele come on the pod. Yes, we will keep going until they are both on the podcast together.
Or separately. It's either is fine with me.
Nope, they have to be on. All three of them together. Native Mohican also says they're all doing movies to talk about. That's very true. Ingo Pingo, there are portrait-related topics for a lifetime. I think that is true. I think we could write like a huge textbook on portrait and also continue this podcast forever. But I like your answer. I think for me too, it's going to be until it no longer is fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just fun, but it doesn't feel like work. I think if it ever starts to feel like work, I might reconsider it, but that hasn't been the case. It's been almost a year. That's another thing too we should mention, is like, I think next month it'll be a year since we started.
Yeah. Yeah. If it starts feeling more like work, then, you know, maybe we'll just become memes of a lady on fire and just make it easier. Would you like to talk about the topic for our last episode?
Oh, sure. Okay. So our last episode, which we will be recording next Saturday, the topic is basically looking into the future. Where does queer cinema go after portrait? Or like, what do we think queer cinema should be post-portrait? And obviously there's been queer cinema that's been released in a post-portrait world that I think most of us have been kind of questioning a little bit, just a little. And so I think this is sort of like the aspirational, like, what should queer cinema look like?
If the response to the world to come is any indication, there's something different that we want out of our queer cinema. So we are going to be soliciting ideas from all of you about what you would like to see, what you would like to see from queer cinema. Like, what kind of stories would you like to see? How else could we say this?
I think it's pretty open-ended, right? It's like, what stories you would like to see, or like what themes you would like to see, or even specific story ideas if you, you know, you want to share those.
Like, Claire Frofro says, I sure as hell hope happiest season isn't an indication. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Even what not to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like reworkings of like other cinema or other stories that are out there, and like queering them. I think that's another approach.
Yeah.
Imagine Me and You. Yeah. That's a good one. I need to go back and watch that. I feel like I keep thinking about it and it keeps coming up, but it's like a good example of,
yeah,
okay, yeah, sweet romantic film.
Yeah, so we'll put a post on Instagram, but yeah, you can, if you have ideas, just, you can email us at podcastofladyonfire@gmail.com, or you can DM us here on Instagram. But yeah, anything that you want to, like, tell us what you would like to be different about queer media. And I, like, in my head I'm just thinking movies, but honestly everything, like TV, music, whatever, what have you. But yeah, architecture. Yeah. What kind of queer architecture would you like to see? That's not media. Okay, fine. Oh.
Queer Koala says, I would love to see more representation of people of color. Yes, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Top of the list.
Native Mohican also said, or Summerland, a happy ending, please. yeah, more happy endings would be great, you know. Shepherd's Road Trip says, have you finished watching season 3 of Killing Eve? I'm so close. We are so close.
Oh, really?
And I are very close. Yeah, yeah. I think we're on episode 7 right now. Is that close?
I think so. I think.
How many episodes?
I don't think there's, I don't know.
Shepherd's Road Trip. You will want to discuss the final episode. Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Great.
Okay. I think we're going to be like 2 years behind, right? Like,
I know.
Everyone else has already seen it.
Marswall 17 says something that does not involve coming out. Sleeping emoji. Yes, totally agree. Native Mohican also says that the queer character doesn't die. Would be so nice. That would be great. Also, if they could not get raped or no one got raped in a movie, would be so nice.
Yeah.
Undazed said, I was not a big fan of Ammonite, but the director's other film, God's Own Country, was pretty good, IMO. Gay Shepherds, not a bad ending at all. Gay Shepherds, it's great, yeah. Claire Frofro says, everyone always says the queer people always die in movies. I can't think of even one. Oh, okay, so name some movies where queer people die.
Should we spoil these, though?
Oh, yeah, never mind. Claire Frofro, DM us and we can, or probably, honestly, like you could probably Google movies in which gay people die.
Or Google
bury your gays. Yeah. I'll put that in the comment.
I feel like there's probably literally a website that's like buryyourgays.com or something that just lists all the gay films that kind of fall into that trope.
Yeah. It's so common that it's a trope and there's a phrase for it.
I feel like we should save these for the next episode too, but M. Desbordes Valmore says, I want to see a queer movie that destroys the patriarchy.
I'm going to try to screenshot that because I can't say that.
With more POC characters and disabled persons like me. Also, I wish there was a goth OST with King Woman and Chelsea Wolf. Yes to everything you just said. Did you get a screenshot?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, I hope. Okay, I'm gonna try it again.
Maybe. But I know I'm always worried I'm gonna like accidentally
just hang up.
Just hang up, yeah. Yeah. Okay. In case anyone has just joined us as we're kind of wrapping up, we're gonna post something about this. But just heads up, we'll put a call out for, you know, what do you want the future of queer cinema to look like? The future of this post-portrait world, right? Now that we have portrait, imagine portrait as the baseline. Which I have a hard time. I feel like it's like so high up there.
Can you imagine if portrait was the baseline?
No.
Oh my gosh.
It's impossible.
Wow. Let's try to make it happen. That'd be great.
Maybe this is too much of an ask. You know what? We can dream.
Yeah. Let's dream bigger. That's
cool. What is the LCU, the lesbian cinematic universe in the future?
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
All right. We're gonna
thank you everyone for joining. Yep.
Thanks y'all.
Enjoy your weekends. Enjoy the rest of Women's History Month.
Enjoy
again.
My cockatoo one more time. Enjoy being a person in Canada.
Yeah. Congratulations, Canadian women. That's great. Okay.
All right.
Also, just as a reminder, if you ask us something that we didn't get to, it'll be deleted when we end the live stream. So send it as a direct message and we will get back to it at a future date. And then join us for our last episode in not 2 weeks. Is it 2 weeks? In 2 weeks.
Well,
yeah.
We'll record on Saturday and then it'll come out in 2 weeks. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, and bathtubers.